takes up her place, and we call her a she. Wisdom, this very special gift of God, is presented as a person, as it were. And so we hear wisdom presenting herself as a person and offering herself and her benefits. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. And I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come on you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Father, we thank you that wisdom takes up her place in the streets. We thank you that your word is your word of wisdom to us. Father, help us to have ears that would listen to wisdom as she calls. Oh Lord God, would you help us not to go about our ways as she speaks in the at the head of the streets, as she lifts up her voice. Father, we thank you that you lift up your voice through your word, and may we hear it this night. Help me, even as I would seek to speak wisdom's truth. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider Proverbs chapter 1, the last half of chapter 1, as we come tonight to consider the word of God. And again, this is a word for those who are naive. This is a word for those who are young. And this is a word for those who are wise and desire to increase in understanding, even as it represents itself under the inspiration of God. And so if you fall in any of those categories, if you're ignorant, if you're inexperienced, if you desire wisdom, then this book is for you. So I hope that would include every single one of us. I've been thinking about the young people, of course, because it is a book that makes application many times to the young. And so since most of you are younger than me, that puts all of you in that category. I consider you all young people. And so I hope you will listen as we consider this. Wisdom shouts in the streets. I've called this sermon Wisdom's Earnest Call. Wisdom's Earnest Call. And as we look at this, we just simply hear this wisdom. We see wisdom taking up a position. I've called wisdom a she here. In fact, the scripture does the same. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. And as she comes and seeks to be heard, she also calls upon those who hear her to turn in verse 23. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Does that sound familiar at all? It may sound familiar to some of you in the New Testament, in John, especially John chapter 7. We're told that Jesus in the great day, the last day of the feast, that is the Feast of Tabernacles, we're told this by the gospel writer. Jesus stood and cried out. Jesus was standing in the middle of the public place in the temple square, and Jesus raised up his voice and cried out, and he said this, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And John interprets this and says he was speaking of the Spirit whom he would give. Wisdom stands at the head of the streets in Proverbs chapter 1, and wisdom cries, "Turn to my reproof, and I will pour out my Spirit on you." Jesus stands in the temple square at the great day of the feast, cries out with his voice, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and I will give you living water. I will pour out my Spirit upon you." The obvious connection is this, that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Wisdom, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Jesus is called the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Colossians 2:3, we are told that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are deposited in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. And as we come to listen to wisdom speak, people, I want us to understand, at least from a New Testament perspective, that if you want to hear the wisdom of God, then in a certain sense, as we think of her speaking to us, think of him. Think of Christ, who is the wisdom and the power of God unto salvation, as we consider this passage here. And I want to begin, and I'm just going to go through this little thing, and I hope it'll just be clear to you. This is a wonderful message that we find here as wisdom cries. I want us to, first of all, consider in verses 20 through 21, wisdom's public cry. Wisdom's public cry. Just like the cry of Christ out in the temple square on the Day of Tabernacles, I want you to hear wisdom's public cry. Look where she is, and look what we find her doing. Wisdom is doing what? In verse 20, wisdom shouts. In verse 20 and the next part, wisdom lifts up her voice. In verse 21, wisdom is at the head of the noisy streets and she cries out. Wisdom is loud here. Wisdom just lifts up her voice. Why does wisdom do that? Wisdom lifts its voice. It's very simple. Why do your mom and dads ever lift their voice? Why do they sometimes shout? Well, you say, I don't know, they just like to do that. No, it's not simply that. This will be the very simplest reason, because they want to be heard. They want you to hear them. And as wisdom cries out, wisdom wants to be heard. Wisdom wants your attention. She knows that there are a lot of voices, and dear saints, whether you're old or young, there are a lot of voices that try to get our attention. A lot of voices that are speak that are trying to get our attention. And wisdom cries out above them all, lifts up her voice. She wants to be heard above your television set and your PlayStation 2 or whatever it might be. We just have the old Nintendo with the Mario Brothers, and I understand that's a classic. But I don't know what the new stuff is. I've just seen some of it being advertised on TV. But wisdom wants to be heard above that. Wisdom wants to be heard above maybe all the movies that you might see or the DVDs that you have. Wisdom wants to be heard above all of the noise of the soccer games and the baseball games. Wisdom wants to be heard above all of the CNN news and the BBC news. Wisdom wants to be heard above everything else that comes into your ear. Because wisdom really is important. Wisdom is for your life. And that's why wisdom cries out. She's eager for you to hear. Wisdom wants to make it plain. But notice where wisdom shouts. Wisdom doesn't go out into the wilderness where nobody is. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square, at the head of the noisy streets where everybody's gathering, at the head of Wall Street, at the head of the malls, at the head of the ballparks, at the schoolyards or the playgrounds, wherever it might be that people are, wisdom wants to be heard. She doesn't want to hide herself. She makes herself very plain. She makes herself very accessible and very available. Why is she crying out? Why is she being so present? Because she doesn't want anybody to miss her. She's really saying, there's no excuse if you miss me, because I'm right in your face and I'm crying out right in your ear. Wisdom just says, there's no way. I don't want anybody to miss. She doesn't go to some kind of secret place. And notice this too, and this is something wonderful about the wisdom of God. Wisdom doesn't kind of just hide out in a place like the sinners and kind of just beckon a little finger, why don't you just come here? Wisdom goes out to where you are, takes the initiative, and begs you to listen. Wisdom wants to get your ear, and God in His wisdom kind of comes and cries out and stands in the public place. Dear people, this is how the Savior came. This is how the wisdom of God came. The wisdom of God didn't stay up there in heaven. The wisdom of God became incarnate. The wisdom of God became accessible and touchable. The wisdom of God became incarnate. The wisdom of God came into this planet and began to speak in the public places and to make Himself plain on the mountainsides, in the temple squares. In every place, Jesus Christ was accessible. You could find Him in the temples with the religious leaders. You could find Him at the dinner tables of sinners. You could find Him every place speaking the truth. He announced publicly the way of life. He was open. He was accessible. God would make it so plain. He lifted up His voice that sinners might come. Jesus Himself said in John 18:20, I have spoken openly to the world. I've said nothing in secret. That's why He's come. That you might know wisdom. That you might know that God would make His wisdom and His life accessible. That's why He's here. You remember that He did go every place. He was every place. You remember there was a one little parable where He tells about a man who had a dinner and he invited guests to come and they didn't want to come. So what did that master do? He says, send them out every place. He says, tell them to go out into the streets, into the lanes of the city. And he says, we've done that. He says, my house isn't filled enough. He says, tell them to go out into the highways and along the hedges. In other words, just go out into the farthest places. Wisdom wants to be known. And God has made His wisdom known and plain, you see, through His Son and through His gospel. The wisdom, and so young people, here, maybe we can just say it very simple this way. God's wisdom in Jesus is calling you. It's always calling you. The wisdom of God in Christ is always calling us to listen. Listen to Him. It's all your wisdom. It's all your wisdom to listen to Jesus. He's made Himself plain and clear. You remember on that mountain when Jesus was being transfigured and just glorified before His disciples? Do you remember what took place? What God said? He said, this is my beloved Son. And then what did He say? Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Don't listen. He basically said, listen, you might be interested in Moses. You might be interested in Elijah, the prophets, the law and everything else. He said, listen, I want you to listen just to one right now. Because in my last days, I have spoken through one. God has spoken through one, and that's His Son. Listen to Him. Listen to Jesus. That's what Mary knew, remember? Martha was so busy. Martha was so busy just getting the house all ready, a nice busyness, a proper busyness. She wanted to show hospitality to Jesus. But what was Mary doing? What did Jesus say? Mary, you've done the good thing. Mary was sitting listening to Jesus. She was listening to Jesus. She was listening to Him as He told about who He was and what He had come for. Listen to Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of voices that as you get older, there's a lot of voices that are going to challenge you. There's going to be a lot of counsel going into your ear. But if there's anything that you better listen to with all your listening, it better be Jesus. Because as Peter said, Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life. Young people, Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. You've got to listen to Him. In Him is life. Listen to Jesus. That's your wisdom. Wisdom has come into the public place. Wisdom has lifted up its voice with the Son. But now notice 22. Verse 22. This is wisdom's pointed challenge. Wisdom's pointed, kind of like this, kind of pointed challenge. Oh, don't do that. I don't like pointing. People say it's not polite. It's not polite. Okay? Wisdom points. Wisdom doesn't kind of come along. And as wisdom is talking to you and as wisdom is crying out to you, wisdom doesn't say, oh, how beautiful you are. Oh, how pleasant you are. How wonderful is your way that you're going on. Wisdom doesn't do that. Wisdom exposes us. The wisdom of God exposes us. Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken what I've spoken, they would not, in a certain sense, know their sin. The wisdom of God comes and cries out, but it exposes us. Notice what wisdom says in verse 22. Wisdom challenges them. How long, old naive ones? What's a naive one? A naive one is an ignorant one. A naive one is one who is inexperienced. A naive one who is one who lacks moral direction, who is going the wrong way. Wisdom speaks to them and says, you who are going the wrong way, how long will you love going the wrong way? Wisdom tells you you're going the wrong way and you love it. Notice what wisdom also says. Scoffers, how long will you scoffers delight yourselves in scoffing? Scoffers, you know what a scoffer is? A scoffer is one who makes fun of the things of God. A scoffer is one who laughs at the important things of God or doesn't think the things of God are very important. And wisdom says, how long will you laugh at the things you shouldn't be laughing at? How long will you delight in laughing at the most important things that I have to tell you? How long will it be before you take God seriously and you take your own soul seriously? How long, wisdom says that, how long will you just consider, no, it's just fine. It's just fine. I've got a godly mom and dad. They take me to church, but wisdom kind of speaks to each one of us and says, how long about you? Not how long about somebody else, but how long about you going the wrong direction? How long about you who doesn't take seriously the things of God? Wisdom says this, and you fools, how long will you hate knowledge? How long will you just not even want to think about God or the things of God? How long will you hate the very things that you know might show you what you really are? How long will you hate not wanting to hold up the mirror of the Word of God that it might show you that you aren't really right in God's sight? That's what wisdom is doing. It kind of points the finger at us. And really, wisdom says, how long? Wisdom wants you to consider your ways. Wisdom wants you to consider your ways. Have you taken God seriously? Do you understand that you lack moral direction? Do you understand that you can't play games with God? Do you understand that you shouldn't keep going on like this? You're loving the wrong thing. You're delighting in a deadly thing, mocking God. You're hating the best thing, the knowledge of God. How long will that take place? You remember Jesus himself, or maybe one of the gospel writers said it, it's hard to know, in John 3. It says that there are some people who love darkness rather than light. Why do they do that? Because it says their deeds are evil. I don't want the light to shine, and wisdom shines the light. Wisdom challenges us. Wisdom, notice, it says long enough. Long enough. Wisdom's patient in a certain sense, but wisdom says, how long? How long are you going to keep this up? Change your ways. Listen. Here's what wisdom is doing. Wisdom is telling us. The wisdom of God tells all of us that we need to repent. Wisdom tells us, how long will we not take God seriously? How long will we walk in a way that we know is not right with God? How long will we do that? Wisdom points. Wisdom tells us we're needy. But notice wisdom's precious call in verse 23. Wisdom's precious call in verse 23, it's nice that wisdom just doesn't just point the finger and says you're in a bunch of trouble. It's a really a wonderful thing that wisdom stands at the head of the streets and she isn't just simply there nagging at you. She is seeking to call you to life and blessing. Wisdom is calling you and standing in that place for your life. Wisdom is calling for a turning from folly. Turn to my reproof. Listen to me. That's what wisdom is saying. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't stiffen your neck. Don't just say, no, I don't want to hear that I'm naive. I don't want to hear that I'm foolish. I don't want to hear that I'm just simply scoffing at the things of God. Wisdom says, don't turn your back to my challenge to you to give up your love and delight in the wrong things and your hatred of the best things. Listen to me. Turn to my reproof. Wisdom is saying, just turn to me. Wisdom says, don't just keep running away from me. Don't ignore me. Don't neglect me. But when I'm calling, listen to me. Turn your ear to me. That's what wisdom says. And notice what wisdom promises. You do that. In your turning, wisdom says, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. Wisdom promises immediately upon our response to it, just as the same as Christ himself. If you come to me, I will give you rest. If you believe in me, I will give you life. If you trust in me, I will give you the forgiveness of sins. If you cast your soul and all of your welfare upon me, I will pour out my spirit upon you and I will give you everything by my grace, what you need for this life and for the life to come. Will you listen to me? Will you respond to me? Will you not run away from me? Even as you're exposed before me, will you turn to me and will you come to me? Wisdom begs and entreats. Wisdom invites us to come. And she meets us in mercy. It's like the parable of the prodigal. Remember as he just kind of turned out of that little pigsty and as he began to come back toward the father saw him from a distance and began to embrace. And wisdom is like that. The wisdom of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God in Jesus Christ, young person or older person, when you just kind of come out of the pigsty of just living in your own way, ignoring God, and you begin to turn around and you come to Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life, He will meet you with His mercy. He will pour out His Spirit on you and in you, and He'll give you life. That is what He does. That's what He promises. Wisdom does not lie. Wisdom says, I will instruct you. I will make my words known to me. Your wisdom is turning and I'll make you wiser still. Christ is willing to give you everything. Christ is willing to give you everything that you really need if you turn to Him. And wisdom says, do it. Wisdom calls us to do it. Wisdom doesn't say, hey, why don't you wait until tomorrow? Wisdom just says, you know, I'm just offering up an option. Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is shouting. God is so intent to give you mercy. God so desires that you would listen to Him that He sets forth His blessings at the very outset. Just turn. And I will pour out heaven on your heads. You see, you don't have to be a loser here. None is ever a loser that turns to wisdom's cry. Wisdom's reproof might hit you hard, but wisdom's remedies are far better. It's the gift of life in Christ. Turn. Wisdom says turn. Jesus, even as He talked to those, the Jews in John 5, they were intent on just doing away with Him. And it's an interesting context. Jesus is speaking to the Jews that are really determined to do Him in. And as He's speaking to them, Jesus says this, I say these things to you that you might be saved. Even in the midst of the rebellion, Jesus speaks. In the midst of our rebellion, in the midst of our resistance, in the midst of our hostility, Jesus says, I say these things that you may be saved. Turn and trust, and I'll pour out my Spirit. Well, look at wisdom's warning. Look at wisdom's warning in verses 24 through 31. This is wisdom is kind of, what is wisdom trying to do? Wisdom is trying to let you know how important it is that you listen. How wonderful it is that you respond at the outset. Wisdom holds off the invitation. Wisdom doesn't threaten us. Wisdom says, come to me. The threat is on the other side. The threat is on the other side if you don't respond. But wisdom comes scaring, not condemning. Wisdom comes and inviting. But now wisdom says, if you don't respond to me, look what happens. Don't reject it. She stands at the head of the streets to be received. But these are hard words. These are very hard words that wisdom speaks here. And everybody, some that would even just look at these words would just say, this is harsh. These are difficult words. Because I called, verse 24, and you refused. Notice, I stretched out my hand. Wisdom would just come, stretch out a hand of acceptance, a hand of help, a hand of grace, a hand that would lift you up out of the miry pit and set your feet upon a rock, a hand that would restore you to relationship with God. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Wisdom says, I who was so willing to pour out my Spirit on you, I'm going to laugh at you in your trouble. I'm going to laugh at you. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock. I will make fun when your dread comes. You go, oh, how can that be? And here's the reality. Is the reality is that wisdom does not want to sugarcoat the consequences if you don't listen to her. The issues are very important. This is just isn't well. It's just kind of, well, another sermon. Another one to put another notch in my Bible that I listen to a sermon. But wisdom is calling to be listened to. Wisdom is saying, listen to me, don't neglect me, respond to me, turn to me. Because if you don't, because if you just persist in resisting me, you're gonna face trouble. And I'm gonna laugh at you. I'm gonna laugh at your calamity. I'm gonna mock when your dread comes. And notice, it's coming. It is coming, verse 27. When your dread comes, when your calamity comes, when distress and anguish come. In other words, it's coming. It's the idea behind verse 27 is the certainty of calamity and dread, doom and destruction if you do not listen to wisdom. Some of you might remember, I think the illustration's been shared before, but there was an awful fog bank in England, I believe, at one time. And cars were just going into that fog bank and they were running into one another. And they were just slamming it at high speeds and nobody was slowing down. It's like on the 5 going up the grapevine. Nobody was slowing down. And people were dying. Some people got out of their cars and they ran to where the fog bank began and they began throwing rocks and whatever they could find into the windows of the cars that were coming. You say, well, that seems rather drastic, doesn't it? Throwing rocks at cars and windshields breaking. I mean, those people could crash. They could go off the road. But why were they doing that? They were doing that because they knew just only a quarter or half a mile down the road, these people would plummel into another car and go to certain death. They were doing whatever they could to steer them away. Wisdom, in a certain sense, is warning. It's coming out of the fog bank of the things that we cannot see far enough down and says, dread and calamity is coming unless you turn to me, unless you listen to me, and you respond to me. There is dread, calamity, distress, and anguish. It's certain. Some of you remember, of course, everybody probably remembers. It says your storm will come like a storm and your dread like a storm and your calamity like a whirlwind. You remember that we're amazed, some of us, as we look at the devastation of Katrina, but we remember that people were warned to get out of town. We were warned that there was an awful storm coming and it was building up intensity as it was crossing the Gulf of incredible intensity. And how were people able to be warned? Because way up high in the sky, there were satellites tracking and measuring the size and intensity of that storm. And they were seeing its path, they were being able to plot it and everything else. And from up on high, from those instruments, men on the ground were able to be informed of it. And so men with the National Weather Service began to tell the people and the officials in New Orleans, you better get out of town because it is coming and it is fearsome. And you know that some people, knowing that and having the ability to leave, did not. In fact, there's another account that I remember, a man by the name of Harry Truman, and not the President of the United States, Harry Truman, but a man named Harry Truman that lived right there on the side of a placid little mountain in Washington called Mount St. Helens. Now, some of you may not remember Mount St. Helens because only half of it's there now. The half that isn't there is the very half that Harry Truman was living on. Mr. Truman was told, as the U.S. Geographic Seismic Service was beginning to look at things, seismic warnings are increasing. Harry, you better get out of your cabin. You better get off that mountain because things don't look good. Harry was very pleased just to simply stay in his cabin. And we've had warnings and everything else before. And Harry, on one day in May, I think, of 1980, just got blown away, May 18th. Because half of the side of Mount St. Helens just blew away in one of the most spectacular volcanic eruptions on our continent. He was warned. Men had instruments. Men knew. There was a certainty about it. And what's taking place, wisdom now, wisdom that is on high, wisdom that has not just simply satellite perspective, but the perspective of God, wisdom says trouble is coming. Distress is coming. There is this, the perfect wisdom of God sees the holiness of God and His wrath against sin. It sees the storm cloud against mockers and those who go their own way, those who are ignorant and not interested in being wise in the ways of God, those who are just not serious about God or about His judgment, about heaven or hell. Wisdom says there's a storm coming and it's picking up such intensity that it will melt the mountains and break the earth, cause the sun and the stars and everything else to fall apart. And it's coming your way. Wisdom is warning us. Wisdom knows that there can be no human defenses or levies that can be constructed that will stand up to that levy. Wisdom says, listen, respond to me, turn to me, because it's coming. Kids, it's coming for you. It's coming for you. It doesn't just come. Calamity, distress, death, destruction, doom, hell does not simply come to old people. Comes to young people who have not repented. Destruction, death, doom comes to people who have not trusted in Jesus Christ. Old people go to hell. Uncles and aunts go to hell and children go to hell, do not trust in Jesus Christ. Hell is a reality. And wisdom says, you better take it seriously. I'm giving you an out. I'm giving you a refuge. I'm calling you. But listen, if you don't listen to me, if you just basically say, I don't want to listen to mom and dad as they speak the wisdom of Jesus. I don't want to listen to the pastor as he speaks the wisdom of Jesus. I don't want to listen to the wisdom of my Sunday school teachers as they speak the wisdom of Jesus and say, I must turn, you must turn. Just turn, just come to me and I will receive you and I will pour out my grace upon you. I will forgive you and give you life. Wisdom says then when trouble comes and when the dark day falls upon your head, do not expect the sympathy or the pity of God. God is not willing that any should perish. God does not delight in the destruction of the wicked, but that they turn from their way and live. Turn ye, God said to His own house of Israel. Turn ye, why will you die, O house of Israel? And wisdom says the same thing. And wisdom is not hard-hearted. Wisdom is not harsh, but wisdom will warn us. Wisdom will say if you just kind of sit and do nothing, if you just go your way, then will you understand? Will you understand there'll be no pity for you? There'll be no escape for you. You remember Jesus as He saw Jerusalem, as He came in the last week of His life. He looked at Jerusalem and He was not hard-hearted. He was not laughing at Jerusalem. Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem because He knew she would not receive Him. He knew what she was headed for. But as Jesus wept on that day, Jesus was not weeping on 70 AD. Not when the armies of Rome came in and destroyed it. She did not heed. She did not listen. She did not recognize the time of her visitation. She did not know that now was the day of salvation. And here was wisdom of God itself speaking, saying, repent and turn to me. He would cry, even in their presence. But now it would be too late. I stretched out my hand. I called and you refused. You neglected all my counsel. You did not want my reproof. Look what wisdom says. Then they will call on me, verse 28, and I won't answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. It'll be too late, wisdom says. When everything starts to fall apart in your life and you begin to see the fruit of your own ways, do not expect that I will hear you when you pray. Because you didn't hear me when I called. You didn't hear me when I called. Wisdom says this is only fair. Wisdom says this is only fair, verse 29, because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. What do you expect? They get to eat the fruit of their ways. Maybe some of you, I hope you might be thinking, I wonder how long wisdom will wait. I wonder how long wisdom will call. Wisdom said how long? When will wisdom shut the door? I mean, how long will wisdom bear with me? How long will wisdom call to me? How many times must I hear the gospel offer of Christ? How many times must I be encouraged and implored to come to Christ and receive the mercy and forgiveness and pardon and life that He gives? How long can I sit under those things, hear them from mom and dad, from this pulpit, from the Sunday school teachers? How long can I do that? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this. Wisdom doesn't wait forever. Wisdom tells us here that there's going to come a time when wisdom will be done waiting. Wisdom will be done calling. And when you call, wisdom won't answer. Wisdom basically just says, don't trifle with me. Don't play with me. Don't delay. Wisdom doesn't say, just keep going your way. Remember me sometime. Know that I'll be here when trouble comes. Wisdom says, listen, come to me now. Trouble is coming. Come to me now. Don't spurn her. Wisdom comes knocking. And when she does, open the door as fast as you can. When wisdom cries, respond to her. Don't harden yourself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. Now. Now is the day of life. Now. Tomorrow is Satan's today, as one said. Tomorrow is always time enough. No. No, you don't know. It's foolish to wait. It's foolish to play with wisdom. Receive the wisdom of God. Receive His Son, Christ. Turn to Him today, young people. Well, look at wisdom's plain lesson. This is how wisdom shuts it all out. Closes off her lesson in verses 32 through 33. This is, as Tim would call it, the take-home lesson. This is the take-home lesson that wisdom gives her final words. She says, the waywardness of the naive will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. Wisdom just says simply this. You keep going your own way and you will die in your sins. You keep going your own way and you will die in your own sins. Wisdom says this. It says the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Thinking you can live happily ever after and feeling like you are blessed, not being right with God, will destroy you. There's the word interesting, the word that is rendered complacency here speaks of prosperity and outward blessing. The one who feels outward blessing and peace, how can I be in trouble when everything seems so good? That's the complacency of fools. They consider that everything is good in terms of outward measurement of things that they see in this life without realizing they need to be right with God. It says that complacency, that satisfaction will destroy you. Don't be tricked because things are great at home if you're not right with God. There is a way that seems right to a man, Proverbs says, and its way is death. It seems fine with me. It's not fine with God. It's spiritual suicide. If you turn from Him who calls you, you're just acting against yourself. But notice, that's not wisdom's last word. The last word of wisdom is a very encouraging word again. The last word of wisdom is this. He who listens to me. Listen to me, wisdom says. Listen to me. It's almost like she's given the warning and it's like wisdom is about to go her way. She's just issued the cry and the invitation and the offering. She's given forth the dire warning that she wants you to take her seriously. She doesn't want you to delay. She doesn't want you to trifle with her and play games with her. And the very last thing she says is this, for the person who listens to me, who responds to me, who turns at my reproof, it says they shall live securely and they will be at ease from the dread of evil. They will be without the dread of disaster. The listener and heeder of wisdom will be truly safe and secure. Kids, what does that mean? What's the take-home lesson? What's the take-home lesson? The take-home lesson is to listen. When Jesus calls, and as He calls and says, come to me, believe in me, trust in me, follow me, deny yourself for me. Receive me and you'll be forgiven. It is to listen to Him when He says that and respond to Him. It is all folly and it's all foolishness. It's all dangerous just to say, well, fine, I think He's about done. And so I'm done. You can't be done. You've got to come. You've got to listen, because this is the only one who is safe and secure. Accept wisdom's advice. Accept Christ's advice and reproof. Show the obedience of faith. Turn to Jesus as He calls. Don't wait or wander away. The Lord will bless you by His Spirit if you come, if you trust. There's just one little hymn. We'll sing it. We'll sing it, in fact, as we're done. But it says this in hymn number 644. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse, and power to free. He's promised, poor and sinful though we be. He has mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse, and power to free. Blessed Jesus, let us early turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, let us early turn to Thee. Kids, be early turners. Don't be late turners. Don't be no turners. Don't be those who will never turn. Turn and trust in Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that Christ took the public place and set forth Your wisdom. And Your wisdom is for us to flee. To flee from the wrath to come, to flee out of the bondage of our own sins and our own ignorance, our own folly, our own way that leads to death. And Lord, turn, just simply turn, simply trust and cleave and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will pour out His Spirit and grace. He will give us His wisdom and all we need for this life and life eternal. Oh Father, will You give us all ears to listen to wisdom's cry, wisdom's merciful, gracious cry. Will You show mercy to the young people, especially? Lord God, will they not walk their way turning their ears to Your wisdom? But Lord, turn at its reproof. Receive Your Spirit, Your grace, Your pardon, Your cleansing, and all they need to live for Your glory. Oh Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.